Hello, and welcome to the Tesla Tips and Tricks podcast. This is Rod Stuckey. Here with me is EVBIDS co-founder and Tesla Tips and Tricks administrator, Tori Hornsby. Tori, how's it going?
Fantastic. How are you?
Doing great, thanks. In today's podcast, we're going to cover some interesting posts from our T3 Facebook group, including when does the congestion fee of 50 cents per minute take effect at the superchargers? What is the etiquette on using handicapped spots at supercharging stations? We'll also talk about stopless shifting, Tesla's frunk cooler, and more. But first, for those who may be unfamiliar, Tori, tell us a little bit more about the T3 community.
We are the largest Tesla tips and tricks community in the world with over 281,000 members. Our community provides real-world tips and tricks that help to maximize Tesla ownership for both current and prospective owners. And if you haven't joined our Facebook group, be sure that you do. It's facebook.com/groups/Tesla Tips, or you can just look for the group after searching Tesla Tips on Facebook that has over 281,000 members in it. And then also, you know, we're releasing the best tips and tricks content on our YouTube channel. So be sure that you subscribe to our YouTube channel at youtube.com/@Tesla Tips and Tricks. And there will be a link to both of those in the description of the video or the comment section, depending on the platform you're watching this on or listening.
Yeah. And as always, Tori, shout out and a thanks to you and Sam and the rest of the team over at the Tesla Tips and Tricks Facebook group. Moderating 280,000 Tesla enthusiasts is no easy feat. So you guys do a great job, and it's always good stuff. And that's a great lead into what we're going to talk about today is five of the posts that got a lot of engagement. And kind of go through some of these interesting topics that we're seeing in the Facebook group. So coming in at number five, this post, Tesla website says there's a 50 cents charge applying to busy stations. However, I was the only one charging. No fees applied after 80% today. So I wonder how we will know when it's busy enough for the additional fees to actually take effect.
Yeah, this is a great question. And for those who are listening, there's an image on the screen of showing the congestion fees and an explanation as he's looking in his charging app. I'll start with Anthony Dominic. He says, it tells you when you click on a charging location in navigation that congestion charges apply for busy locations, and that is once a certain percentage of the stalls are utilized. This differs based on location. You can verify it in the car navigation that specific sites do have charges when they are congested. And Caesar says, well, the app tells you. And that's what my understanding is that whenever you are charging, the app will tell you, but in the car, you're going to see, hey, your congestion fees are going to apply. It will alert you as you're charging on the screen. I think the best comment, though, is Justin Harris. It's the top comment up here. And Justin says, there's no reason to charge past 80% at a supercharger. The charging curve doesn't allow fast enough charging after 80%. So honestly, you're just wasting your time. He says he likes this because it keeps people from sitting there because so many people are just coming to charge. And the reason I like that is, and I totally agree with it, the fastest way to charge your car is to start below 20% and then to charge it up to 80% or less. That is the fastest charge time that you can get, especially at a supercharger. It's blazing fast. As you get over 80% charge, it slows down. The reason behind that from a science perspective is the ions, the electricity, as it's going to try to find storage places. It's like an empty parking lot is the way that Elon Musk has explained it. When you have an empty parking lot, it's easy to zoom in and find a parking place. But when you have an 80 or 90% full parking lot, you got to go up and down a couple of aisles to find a parking spot. And that's a really good analogy for why a battery slows down in charging the higher that it gets of a charge rate. So, or a higher percentage of charge that it gets. So I think that it's just a good best practice to don't always just charge to charge in a supercharger. They say that it doesn't wear the battery down as much to use a supercharger. But, part of me thinks that there's probably at least a little bit of a consequence to doing that, because higher charging rates means higher heat. Higher heat impacts the battery. So I could see to where in the long run, it could make a difference in your battery degradation. But I just think it's a best practice, and it's also courteous not to occupy a charger for longer than you need to.
Yeah, Caleb Huerta says the fee starts after 80%. It's because of the slow charge rate after 80%, and the station is busy because anyone routed there is matched out based on when they will get there. So if you go past 80%, someone would have to wait that is en route. Is that, I don't know that to be true, but that's very interesting to your point, Tori, in the earlier comment that, you know, it's in most cases going past 80% is not that necessary, I guess, unless you're going into a very rural area or something.
Yeah, the charging, you know, the navigation is going to tell you where you need to go on a charger and for how long you need to sit. Plus, if you don't have a, you know, an LFP battery, it's not good to charge to 100% anyway. But it is interesting. I've not thought of that, Rod, that Tesla is able to track how many people are en route.
Yeah, exactly. Can you imagine how complicated that algorithm gets when you're trying to track different cars coming into different charging stations at different times and track the congestion? That makes my brain explode trying to think of that algorithm.
But it does show you on the car how many spots are available. So I can see to where as it gets over 50% in terms of the spots or 50% full, that it charges you this congestion fee at over 80% of battery level. And then there's idle fees you hear. And this covers both.
I was going to ask you about idle fees.
Yeah. So an idle fee here is, it says congestion fee is 50 cents a minute starting at 80% charge level, or once charging is complete. So an idle fee is when you just sit there after charging is complete. You say charge to 70%, the car charges to 70%, you're eating, and you know, you can even see on your app, oh, the car is charged, and you're just letting it sit there and occupy a stall. If that is a busy charger, the location for that charger has a lot of traffic, it charges you.
Yeah.
For just sitting there charged.
Yeah. And hey, that makes perfect sense, right? Don't go into the restaurant and sit down and for an hour and a half dining and your car's done charging in 15 minutes, you should be charged, right? So it makes sense. And
I'm with Justin on this one. I like this. I like the fact that they're charging for this because it frees up the charging spaces. And you know, one of the things, and when you think of an electric vehicle, and you know, we love Teslas for a lot more than just being an electric vehicle, you and I do. But in terms of an electric vehicle, what has made Tesla head and shoulders better than every other manufacturer, at least here in the US, is the charging network is so amazing. And there's a lot of additional features too that we love, but the charging network is great. But if that's full of people just sitting there, or you know, it can take longer to charge from 80 to 90% than it does to charge from 20 to 80%. And people just don't understand that. So if you're wasting time sitting there, or if you're idling your charge and you're just parked, man, charge away, get out of the spot.
Yep. Makes perfect sense. So, but it's almost one of those things that, you know, as a new Tesla owner, it's difficult to understand until you actually go on a road trip and experience it for yourself and kind of get your head around how the route planner works and understand the battery charging best practices and why it's not recommended to go past 80% usually, and charging rates. There's a lot to it for new Tesla owners. So that's good stuff there. Well, let's move on to number four. This one is let's just say it's interesting. If a car is driving on FSD and cops trying to stop, will it stop by itself? And can one get a DUI in the states that's driving under the influence? Some places a DWI, driving while intoxicated, if driven by FSD.
The answer to this is on the DUI part, absolutely yes. It is supervised and you are in control of the car. You are responsible for the car. So if you were driving under the influence, even if the car is driving perfectly, if you were to get pulled over and you were drunk, even if the car drove perfectly, You are still the operator of the vehicle. You are responsible for it. You would get a DUI. And so I think some people would say, oh, that's a stupid question. I actually appreciate this question because I think of things like this. Because when you go into the future of autonomous, fully autonomous, full self-drive that's coming in the future, at that point, could you get in the passenger seat and let the car operate like a robo-taxi? Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I think that you could make that happen and not get a DUI. You're a passenger of the robo-taxi car at that point. But for now, you are totally responsible. It is FSD supervised. And then the first part of this question is, if the car is driving on FSD and the cops are trying to stop it, will it go? Will it pull over? Will it stop? And I don't know the answer to this question 100%, but I can tell you from my experience, I had a ambulance coming towards me in the other lane of traffic, and the car in front of me pulled off the road, and then my Model X pulled off the road behind the car in front of me. And I was impressed. I didn't expect it to do that, but it did. I actually shot a video, and on YouTube, I shared this video of it doing that. You can find that on our channel. But I've never experienced a cop being behind me with lights on. I don't know if it'll pull over. What I can imagine is that is definitely going to be handled as autonomy becomes prevalent. Before autonomous driving is released, the car will pull over if there's a cop on with its lights activated and sirens on. Or else the car would essentially get in trouble for fleeing from the police.
Yeah, I can see that being one of the more complex scenarios for the FSD engineers at Tesla, because even as a driver, when you're in control, maybe not on a two-lane road, but on the interstate, if you're, let's say, in the right lane and a cop comes flying up behind you, you know, you're in that predicament. Hey, is he coming after me, or was there another speeder? And it's kind of a judgment call before, you know, I don't like when people just see a cop car sometimes and they just slam on their brakes. I feel like it's dangerous and causes other accidents. So I do think that that's a good question. And one that's going to be a challenge for, you know, autonomous FSD. But there's a good comment in here from Mike LeBron, a former officer who's arrested a lot of people for DUIs in a number of different scenarios. He said, at the very least, there's a similar law in states called actual physical control. In simple terms, you don't have to be driving to be charged with a DUI. If you have the ability to operate the vehicle, meaning you're in a position to start it, move it, or otherwise control it, you may be considered in actual physical control of the vehicle. So if I'm sitting in a car drunk on the side of the road, but I had the means to drive it, if I wanted to, then I could be guilty. So
that feels overreaching from a cop perspective, but I'm sure the laws do allow that. I mean, if you have the keys and are sitting in your car with it started and you're drunk, I could see where you could get a DUI charge. I have one here. This is the funny one of the, there's always a funny comment, it seems like, but Rob Day said, you forgot to add that you're asking for a friend.
Oh, that's a good one. When you said you found a funny one, I thought you were going to say Nick Robinson's. You still get one. I had to take DUI classes, and a lady even got one while riding her horse home.
Oh, that's funny. Betty Jean, moving on here. Betty Jean says, my cop friend advised me to never say you were using FSD if you get pulled over. And people are asking why, you know, what difference does that make? And then Betty answered and said, well, he said that it could create unnecessary suspicion. Like they could question your attentiveness, your sobriety, were you playing on your phone, et cetera. And I could see to where that would be a red flag from a police officer standpoint of like, you know, oh, it wasn't me, it was FSD. And it's like, well, how have you been drinking? I don't think it's right, but I could see where that would lead down a red flag's path.
Totally. I don't know that if I was a police officer, and I think they could be slow to embrace, a lot of police officers could be, because, you know, I mean, until you experience it, it's those of us in this community, and it's normal and customary to us, but I mean, I still talk to people every day that just it's the emoji with the brain exploding. Like, that's their perspective on
cars driving themselves,
you know?
Yeah, that's what I experience too. And I like to take people for drives. I give people a lot of rides. Well, for two reasons. One is, you know, to experience ludicrous. And two is to show them how good FSD drives. And everybody that I've ever given a ride to, when I've activated full self-drive, that's watched it drive, it's all of them are crazy impressed. They're like, wow. They're like, oh, so it'll turn. Oh, it changed lanes for you. Oh, it knows to stop at a stop sign. Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. It's pretty wild. So we've covered our funny, silly post, and we'll move on asking for a friend here. Next post, currently have a Tesla Y. I'm considering upgrading to the new 2026 Model Y. Don't particularly like having to change from park to drive without the stick shift. Or the lever, it's only changeable on the screen, meaning you can only move from park, drive, reverse on the actual touchscreen. 96 comments on this post.
Yep, 96 comments. And most of the comments are that it does it for you. Like Sean says, mostly it just does this for you. But Chris agrees. He says, I'm not a fan of having everything on the screen. And that's my concern too. But I'll tell you, what I didn't realize until I read through these comments is that there is an auto shift mode. Do you have auto shift mode enabled on your car, Rod? So it automatically knows to shift from reverse to drive?
Mine automatically goes into park, but it does not. I always do going into reverse and drive manually. I need to play with that, but it does automatically go into park when I push the brake. I actually had a valet guy pulled my car up the other day, and he's sitting there and he wouldn't get out of the car, and I walk over. He's like, "How do you put this thing in park?" I'm like, "Don't worry about it. It's already in park, you know."
Seth says, I use auto shift. That's what it's called. It's correct 98% of the time. You don't touch anything but the brake pedal and the steering wheel. So that's all you have to touch. But
I got to try that. I got to figure out how to do that.
Yeah. And that's most of these comments are people who were saying, just let it do it for you. And it's right almost all of the time. And you don't ever have to touch the screen. And that's something that I didn't understand, the auto shift, but I like a stalk. And that's one of the reasons that I got a 2020, performance Model X, is I wanted one with the stalk and I wanted one without the cabin camera. I just again, my preference. But for those who do have a newer stalkless Tesla, I do want to mention that Enhance Auto, they sell these incredible stalks that allow you to program it you can program it to be a blinker. You can put two of them in there, one for drive to park and controlling the shifting, and one for blinker. So they can solve any of those issues for you, and they operate seamlessly. They're easy to install. And our friends at Enhance Auto actually offer a 10% discount to anyone that's in the Tesla Tips group that just puts in code Tesla Tips when you're checking out. So there's a place to put in a promo or a discount code and just put in Tesla Tips, one word, TESLATIPS, and it will give you 10% off. So we appreciate those guys for offering that to our group. And so use that code Tesla Tips to get 10% off.
I did want to mention a recent survey that Volkswagen's, I can't remember if it was their CEO or their head of their EV division, but they did a really large study, and they have found that consumers at large do love buttons and levers and knobs over just having a touchscreen. And he said, as they move more into the EV space, they're not going to give up on the buttons, levers, and knobs based on real customer feedback. And so that's going to be an interesting thing to watch as we move, into the future and just to see where the market takes us. Tesla's obviously kind of committed themselves to that more of that touchscreen experience. I know when my dad got his Rivian, originally he was kind of annoyed that he had to do everything on the screen. And so I think to your point, Tori, it's just a preference thing, but I can speak just like Ivan does here that I was a button knob lever kind of guy, and I've gotten really used to it. It's spoiled me and I like it. And I do also have to admit, I just like that clean, minimalistic design. Washing my car and cleaning it is just a pleasure. It's really easy to do because there's less nooks and crannies and things to have to maintain. So
yeah, I still like having the stalk. I don't mind the screen for a lot of things, but you know, I was definitely more of a button and knob guy for a long time. I remember I bought a 2019 Ram 1500, had the huge screen, limited edition, and everything was touchscreen. But I had to get a 2500 diesel for carrying the trailer, drag race and stuff. And the 1500 just couldn't pull it. It was putting a lot of wear on it. So I got a 2500. And when I bought the 2500, I purposefully didn't get the one that had the big screen. I just liked the little knobs and stuff that I could control that stuff with. But what's funny is I don't miss any of that, as you said, Rod, in the Tesla. And I do like the stalk. I like having the stalks for shifting and for blinkers. But I have a feeling if I drove your 2025 Model X for a while, a few times, I'd be like, oh, there's nothing to this. It's a lot easier than I thought.
You know, there's one like funny, and I know Enhance Auto, I've been tempted to get this because not just the lever, but they have the buttons. And I guess we should mention this all works by Bluetooth, but for whatever reason, I haven't found an easy way to fold my mirrors in. And it's using, you know, a lot of times I'll use the voice prompt, but if I'm in a conversation with my wife and we're, you know, parking in the parking lot and we're about to walk in somewhere and she and I are talking, you can't really use a voice prompt in a conversation without shushing someone. Yeah.
Stop talking for a minute.
Yeah, right. Stop talking. So then like having to go in two or three clicks to fold my mirrors versus, you know, normally with every vehicle I've ever had, it's just right there on my left armrest, you know, where my hand's already resting and push the button to fold my mirrors. And I know that obviously folding mirrors can be automated in a lot of cases, you know, but not when you're going to a restaurant or something like that. So
can you have a setting to auto fold your mirrors when it's in park?
You know, I'm like, this is a Tesla. It's probably they have this figured out and I'm not smart enough to have figured it out. So I need to.
I bet you have a setting for that.
Why wouldn't I want to fold? I mean, is there any reason I wouldn't want to fold my mirrors every time I put it in park?
I can't think of a reason, but
I'm thinking out loud.
That's why I have mine set is just to, it folds them on park.
Well, I need to do that. I knew right when I was saying that, I was like, this is just me not being smart enough for this car.
But that would be a good use if you didn't want to do that. That would be a good use of one of the sexy buttons from Enhance Auto.
The Enhance Auto sexy buttons. Yep. So yeah, grab that code for 10% off if you want to get those. And Tori, you said they're pretty easy to install, correct?
They're very easy to install. You connect it through the app and you basically set in the app what you want the button to do. And then it's got double-sided tape and you can stick it somewhere in the car. And it fits in with the interior the way that they've designed it. And so I've seen cars that just have one button or two or all four. So you don't even have to use all four. But you press the button and you can have it open the glove box. You can have it open the trunk, open the frunk, fold your mirrors in. Yeah, you could have two, one for left blinker, one for right blinker. But obviously at that point, you'd want to just get the stalk where you're used to it. But it does a lot of different commands that you can set up through the app. And so it's not a complicated setup.
All right, let's move on. Number two, what is the etiquette on using a handicap charger if all the other spots are full?
So Kenny is the top comment here.
We're talking at a supercharger station here, obviously.
Yep. Right. And this is not, there's not a handicap charger, to be clear. This is a handicap blue logo. It's a handicap parking spot at a supercharger in the US here. And Kenny says, if there is a blue disabled parking spot, I would be handing out tickets and towing. Disabled parking requirements are determined and enforced by local authority having jurisdiction. And Steve replied to him and said, the way that these spots work in the legal sense does depend upon jurisdiction. In California, for instance, charging takes precedence, meaning if you need to charge and it's the only charging spot open, it is legal to use. And Harvey just put a picture of one of the signs. And the sign, I'll put this up on the screen here. It says, you know, Tesla vehicle charging only. It's a supercharger sign. And then down below, there's a blue placard that says, designed for disabled access, use last. And so basically Tesla is saying, you can use this to charge your car, but use it last. Only if all the other places are taken, unless you're handicapped. If you are handicapped, then use it anytime. And so from an etiquette standpoint, I would use a spot if it were the last one available. Much like, and there's a comment about this. I can't remember who commented.
Larry Metter says the same as handicapped stalls in the restroom, which is an analogy I never would have thought of, but it almost seems applicable here.
I never would have thought of it from a restroom either. And this is much like the trailer supercharging spots. And so people sometimes don't understand this, that you'll see a supercharger that's sticking out and is like at the edge of a curb. All the other stalls are deep and parked where you back in, but there's one that's coming forward and that's out kind of towards the front of the car. And some of them have signs that say for trailer use. So if somebody is towing something, they can't park, they can't back up and charge their car normally in the normal parking spot.
Yeah, not to overthink it too much, but just looking at this sign that is posted, designed for disabled access, use last. And, you know, I was kind of thinking, well, you know, it's not like at a shopping center or something where grocery store where it's a closer proximity. So like, what is the purpose of this? But now I guess it kind of makes sense. Probably I would assume that these are usually on like end spots. So if you had, you know, you needed to open your van door and have wheelchair access come out the side, it gives you more room and things like that.
So, exactly.
Hey, back to the restroom analogy being pretty, pretty relevant. So, all right. So let's move on. Our last post we're going to talk about today. Has anyone purchased the Tesla Frunk cooler? If so, how do you like it? I've been searching for the right cooler for the car and am not having much luck without spending just as much or more. I want to keep takeout, water, groceries cool for the next few months while I'm out and about without the worry of a leak or a cooler that wastes space.
Most of the comments here are of people sharing a good experience with the Tesla cooler or sharing other coolers that they've used, just smaller coolers that they've set in the front area.
Just to clarify, that's the OEM Tesla cooler that you can buy off the Tesla website, correct?
Yes, it looks like a tote. And the impressive thing about it, though, Jesus says, I have it, and you can see a picture of it here with ice cream in it. He says, it works great. It holds ice for about 2 days. That's impressive.
And that's not, there's no like power going to that, right, Tori? It's just a regular cooler. There's nothing that's controlling climate or anything like that, correct?
Nope. Well, Mako, he shows a picture of one that is powered and he uses it. It looks like it's full of water for him. And it's got a screen with buttons. That one would use power. It must have a compressor and chiller built into it. It's not Tesla OEM, though. So this is just an aftermarket one. And there's some other aftermarket ones that you see here, Arctic Zone. There's also people who are saying that they use the sub trunk in the trunk. But the reason that I like the reason that I would go for the Frunk is I forget all the time that there's storage up there. Because for all of my life and for all of your life, you know what's under the hood? It's not storage.
No storage.
It's an engine. So yes. Now that there's storage up there, I picked up my son-in-law and my daughter from the airport last week ago. And, we put everything into the back and there was plenty of space, so it was fine. But after we got out, I'm like, what? I didn't think to use the frunk. I'm trying to train myself to use the frunk. But I do think that Eric's comment here is really good. He says, I got it, which is, he's referring to the Tesla frunk cooler. And he says, I love it. It fits perfectly. It doesn't make any noise. That's an important consideration for me. I'm one of those people too. That if I'm driving down the road and there's a can or a styrofoam cup and it's squeaking or rattling, I'm like, what is that? Stop. It has to stop. So if there was something up that was sliding around and clunking or squeaking, it would drive me crazy. So I think the Tesla frunk one would be the one that I would go with, especially if it holds ice for 2 days.
Yeah. If it holds ice for 2 days, I don't see how that's in the South Florida region, because that would be an amazing cooler, but that's still pretty good. So, and you know me, I tend to be a little partial to the OEM things sometimes. So I'm like you, the fitment and not rattling or, not just rattling, but like sliding and bamming and whamming,
And for those who are interested, I was looking up what the cost is because I saw where it looked like they were just over $300. And of course, before it gives me a price, it's going to make me log in here. Let me get logged in. But it's $275. So, and I haven't looked to see if they offer this for Model 3, Model Y, or excuse me, Model X and Model S. I'm sure they do, but the Model Y cooler is $275.
There you have it. 5 posts from our Tesla Tips and Tricks Facebook group. If you have not already joined our group, jump over to Facebook and look up the Tesla Tips and Tricks group. Lots of really good. We average 30 to 40 posts per day, so there's always a lot of great posts in there. Also, join us over on YouTube at youtube.com/Tesla Tips and Tricks. And that'll do it. Tori, any parting thoughts?
No, just the YouTube. Join our channel. Subscribe to us.
Yep. All right. Well, thanks, Tori. Enjoyed it. And we'll see everybody on the next episode.